Stockholm from Home by Tim Gambrell. It had all started in a watering hole washroom. As far as Bernice could remember, she'd been trying out a few facial expressions in the mirror while washing her hands. Nothing unusual about that. Everyone does it. But startlingly, the next thing she knew, there was a glossy leaflet in her hand, some small change jangling in her jacket pocket, and she was aboard a shuttle omnibus coming into land. She looked at the leaflet. "The Tar Pits of Bellanine," it said. "The best health spa in the quadrant." "Now that's a new achievement," she thought to herself, "getting so drunk that I booked myself into a health spa." She pushed past a few elderly couples occupying the aisle, earning her a few tuts, and leaned out through the open shuttle doorway. Clinical was the best way to describe what was waiting for her. Bright sunlight filtered through a ceiling canopy, giving the internal disembarkation bay an antiseptic luminescence. Fresh, conditioned air caressed her face. "Come on, squeeze up there!" Bernice folded slightly with a grunt of as the sharp poke into her ribs. She turned and glared at the wrinkled, toupeed male standing close behind her, his trousers pulled up to his breast pocket. He folded his bony digit with arthritic precision and winked at her. "Keep your hands to yourself," Bernice snapped. She stepped forward onto a platform lift, and the old man immediately moved to follow. She halted him with a glance.
"It says men 2 persons per load," he protested. "Plenty of life left in the old dog. Way!"
His breath smelt of travel sweets. "You step on here with me, Rover, and there'll be hell to pay." Her voice trailed off slightly as she found herself distracted by his hairpiece fluttering at the edges in the draught.
"Come on, get a move on,"
grumbled a wrinkled old lady behind him. The elderly, Bernice thought, never any patience. She peered over the perimeter barrier at the roughly 5-foot drop and the smiling faces of the army of uniformed operatives awaiting them. Ah, what the hell, she thought, and jumped. She landed with almost perfect grace into a shocked hubbub and found herself whisked speedily to one side. "Better inform the warden," said one of the operatives, disappearing out of Bernice's sight, as "Warning, platform descending," blared out from the lift, and 3 of her fellow passengers began the painfully slow descent to ground level. "What is this?" Bernice asked. "Pensioner's discount day?" The 2 remaining operatives ignored the question as they fussed over her.
"You're right, dear. Oh, steady now. That was a very silly thing to do, wasn't it?"
"Was it?" she replied. She looked at the 2 staff members before her, wearing expressions of patronising care under their bellboy hats. She peered further down at their nursing smocks, utility belts and surgical gloves, then up at the health spa sign hanging above them with an arrow. "Look," she added confidentially, "in all honesty, I'm not too certain why I'm here."
"Are you overexcited after the journey, dear? Bit of a change, eh?"
Bernice didn't like to judge unfairly, but she was sure the voice was just a tad louder than necessary, the syllables just a stretch more enunciated than was strictly required for general conversation. A small booklet was thrust into her hand.
"Here's a code of conduct for you to read. No more impulsive or dangerous behaviour, please. Welcome to Bellanine."
"Warning, platform ascending," blared out behind them as Bernice found herself brusquely handled along a production line of check-in procedures.
"I'll just look this way for a retina scan, unless they're detached."
Was that meant to be funny?
"Wait."
"What?"
"Wait. Height? Cough for me. Ahem."
There was a snap of surgical gloves.
"Cavity check."
"Oh, no, you don't." Her head was suddenly bent backwards.
"Note, 3 cavities and,"
after an attempted wobble of a molar or 2,
"all her own teeth."
"What is all this?"
Bernice spluttered as the inside of her mouth was prodded with a cotton bud. There was no answer. Just another note on the palm pad and a hand in the small of her back, encouraging her over to a leather-bound guest book at the check-in desk.
"Just pop your details in the book for me, please."
There was a ballpoint pen on a little chain.
"Look, this place, I don't remember booking or paying or anything. Name?"
"Summerfield. Benny, or Bernice. Professor, hang on. I'll start that again."
"No need, Professor. Suite Epsilon 15. Luggage?"
"Oh, I'm not sure I brought any, to be honest. I only woke up on the shuttle.
It'll be in your quarters when you arrive. Please just sign in the book here for me.
Very efficient. Thanks. Bernice became aware of raised voices as the other passengers disembarked.
It's like we've travelled back in time.
What are you on? It's just to keep us old folk pleased, that's all.
Like time travel, I said.
How would I know if I like it? There's no such thing.
As she finished filling in her details, she peered up at the check-in clerk, Riley. Looks like you've got your hands full with this lot, eh?
Do you need the toilet?
An eager operative appeared immediately by her side. Bernice paused for a half-breath.
Could I just get my bearings before I rush off to see the sights?
The operative smiled automatically in reply, stepped back, made a note on her palm pad, and gestured Bernice towards a set of double doors. Bernice wandered through them, wondering when her first relaxing drink would appear. This was supposed to be a spa break after all.
Welcome!
Bingo, she thought, as she eyed the tray of shot glasses and prioritised it way above the operative who was standing at the corner holding it.
Welcome indeed,
Bernice necked the blue liquid without further ado and waited for the expected kick up her brain. Nothing. Bit tame, she thought, and necked another. It was syrupy and cloying in her throat.
Steady on, dear, chuckled the operative lightly.
Try swilling it around a bit first, all gargling.
A connoisseur. Thanks. What is it? I don't recognise the,
Momentarily lost for a pertinent word, Bernice finished the sentence by waggling her fingers around and frantically smacking her lips together.
Linctus.
Sorry?
A decongestant. Are you feeling phlegmy?
I was hoping for phlegmatic.
Or perhaps, then, something for the bowels?
A charming conversation, thank you, but I'd rather you give me directions to sweet up Cylon 1-5.
She found her left arm taken suddenly from behind.
Allow me to escort you, dear.
A new operative cupped Bernice's elbow and guided her off at an alarmingly laid-back pace. The corridors were surprisingly empty of other spa users and had that institutionalised aroma reserved for municipal buildings the universe over. Lino flooring, muted colours, harsh lighting, large signage, easy listening music piped in. Yes, it was ticking all the boxes. Bernice repeatedly commented that she could walk faster than the ponderous pace the operative was setting, but was met each time with a fixed, kindly smile, an understanding nod, and little else. Her quarters were a vision in magnolia, functional and dull, designed to uninspire, or at least not to stimulate the occupant. The raised single bed with orthopaedic mattress and ceiling hoist came with complimentary ankle-high fluffy slippers and surgical stockings lovingly folded on the ample pillows. A business card, which looked like it ought to accompany a smart box of chocolates, sat nearby. It revealed itself to be from Madame Beryl's and offered a complimentary shampoo and set.
It's a room out of an old people's home, Bernice muttered to herself with some horror.
Perhaps they were short on standard accommodation. The slippers were very comfortable. She pulled off her rucksack and emptied the contents into the sink. The flexible tablet she'd picked up at the last service station she'd stopped at unwrapped itself from around her toothbrush and was instantly hosed down by the auto-tap.
Bugger! How had that got there, she thought, nimbly fishing it out of the sink.
The screen screamed, "Error! Error!" with a jaunty water drop emoji. Bernice wiped the tablet on a towel and draped it over the radiator to dry out, then stuffed everything else back in the bag. She was on holiday, not moving in.
What next?
She did what any normal holidaying person would do when left alone in their rooms. She jumped onto the bed for a bounce. A while later, hair a mess, Bernice had created a snug den out of pillows and bedding and was curled up, nibbling on complimentary biscotti from the bedside table while she waited for her espresso to expand and percolate under the pre-poured solid cream layer in the super-safe sippy cup. She picked up the room controller, which she had found in the drawer next to the hairdryer, and pressed the ceiling fan button. A vision screen lit up within the wall instead. That's encouraging, she thought. She shook the handset for good measure, which prompted a hatchway to slide open in the wall directly behind her, revealing a personal library.
Bernice scanned the first few spines with expectant delight. "Ooh, trashy romances," she muttered. "Very... yeah, then... ah, more trashy romances." And finally, her face sinking. "Oh, every trashy romance ever published. And nothing else, I see." Bernice opted instead to try to reduce the room temperature. It was starting to feel oppressive. The thermostat remained resolutely on 26, and the wall screen started playing. "Welcome to the tar pit regions of Bella Nine," intoned a pleasant unisex voice, accompanied by a slow fade montage of still images. "Does nothing do what it's supposed to in this room?" Bernice asked. But the voice continued its spiel. "Unlike other tars, ours is not carbon or hydrocarbon-based." "So it's not actually tar, then?" "It's a healthy, glossy gloop with a semolina sheen, purple-black under the advancing sunlight, rich in nutrients, vitamins, and the very best of nature's digestive enzymes." "Ugh!" Bernice reached for her, now fully expanded, espresso. "We recommend that residents avoid ingesting the tar where possible. Although not at all poisonous to any of our regular species, the tar's healing properties and enzyme content are often found to be augmented by deposits left by previous users." Bernice's first mouthful of creamy coffee was projected onto the bed covers at pace. "And the management are eager that none of our residents feel uncomfortable or self-conscious when using the facilities at any time." "What the actual? Please note, the tar pits are currently closed for cleaning, following the discovery of excessively high levels of impurities on a recent compliance audit." "You mean someone took an extra large dump in there, in other words? We apologise for any disappointment or inconvenience this may cause. Until further notice, please press 1 for extra compilation repeats of your favourite TV game shows, 2 for naptime music, 3 for prophylactics, or 0 for assistance." Bernice recoiled and pressed the large red off button. "You have selected 1. "No, I haven't. Game show repeats will commence in 10, 9, 8. Bernice swung her legs down and grabbed her keys. "Time to explore a bit." The poolside area was even warmer than Bernice's living unit, but it was so much more what she had in mind from a health spa. Easy listening tootled away in the background, and a few of the other guests were having what looked like an exercise class in the pool. Aside from the staff, Bernice still hadn't seen anyone there of less than advanced years. Maybe it was just the time of season, 25% off for the over-80s or something. Still, she told herself, a spa break was a spa break, and since she had somehow paid for it already, she'd make the most of it for sure. She lay on a memory foam lounger, the reassuring shape of a cocktail glass filling her hand, and a smile of relaxation washed over her. She reached forward and took a sip of her drink. Can't beat a good... She paused, smacked her lips. She took a mouthful to be sure. No, she thought, that is not good. Iced Horlicks? She sat up indignantly with a multi-froth moustache. Hey, she called. Various bathers looked her way, and an operative scuttled over. What can I do for you, dear? Ooh, I see. He produced a wet wipe from his utility belt. Here, let me get rid of that froth. Bernice lurched away from the extended tissue. You'd leave it where it is. I ordered a Bell and Sebastopol from the cocktails menu. What the hell's this? A Bell and Sebastopol's, dear. He made another tentative stab at cleaning off Bernice's upper lip. She smacked his surgically gloved hand away. What happened to the vodka? Alcohol served on bingo nights and festive old-time knees-ups only. He pointed a finger towards a sign on the wall. And when is bingo night? Every week? Which night? Last night. Typical. Bernice glared at him and found herself momentarily drawn in by his vacant eyes. All the operatives so far had displayed no emotion beyond a sort of kindly neutrality. They definitely weren't synthetic beings. That much was clear from their basic body language. But it was as if they were only half there in spirit. The operative's hand surreptitiously rose in Bernice's peripheral vision. Bernice quickly lipped her top lip and thrust the remains of her drink towards him. Hold this, please. She attempted to rise from the lounger, but the foam coating depressed further the more pressure you put on it, causing her to flounder somewhat. "Do you need help standing up, dear? I can summon a porter." Bernice shoved her towel and her copy of Saved by Love under her arm and, using her rear end as a fulcrum, tried again to jump up and storm off. Several attempts later, she settled, instead, for rolling off the lounger and onto the floor before standing and leaving in as much of a huff as her dignity could muster in front of a large captive audience. "Ridiculous," Bernice muttered, to precisely no one and everyone as she returned to her living unit. "Health spa, my oversized rear. This is an old people's home, plain and simple. Do I look decrepit enough to be queuing up for the great beyond?" A chime sounded in the ceiling grid. "Attention, everyone. Nap time. Please return to your units. It's nap time." "I don't want a nap," she yelled. "I want a pint."
But her vision swam as the end of the announcement distorted into white noise and her head filled with static.
"Puny occupants of the planet Belanine," burst an alien-sounding voice inside her head. "This is Colin calling from the Corsane, your orbiting overlords, and I... Oh, sorry, is it nap time? I'll call back later."
Confused, Bernice staggered to her bed, breathing heavily, before giving way to a big yawn. She really could do with a snooze. Moments later, she jerked herself awake, shaking her head. What had come over her? She patted her face. She didn't feel like she'd been drugged. There were no fuzzy edges to her perception. But somehow the suggestion had compelled her to want a nap. There is something seriously wrong here, she thought. Or rather, I've done something seriously wrong by coming here. She was distracted by her tablet coming back online and beeping frantically at her as it updated her apps. "You have 105 message notifications," announced the tablet.
"What?" she gasped. "Who from?"
"One sender. Unknown contact."
"Who the hell wants me that badly? Play."
"Message one. Permit me to approach you, beautiful lady, by means of this social and messaging network app. You are nearby and meet my exacting criterion for size and intelligence. I, honest, open, thub, scout guy, reliable, insect, without complexes and without disgusting tendencies, ready to enter universe of bliss and sensuality, looking for lover to melt heart of ice and escape stodgy prison. Sexy, modest, sexy, maybe you see me and respond or visit for mutual satisfaction. Hey, yeah, uh-huh, what about it?"
Delete.
The tablet confirmed completion as she scrolled through about 100 other messages along similar garbled lines before, "Get me out, I am suffocating, situation, your love a weasel." The final message read, "Why you not respond, dear bloody woman? I, in desperation, give insectoid love, you ignore. Judge harsh weasel, you want money, pretty things. I get, I good guy, hate sticky relationship." Just what she needed. A lusty, aggressive, insectoid online suitor. Or possibly a weasel. "Highlight all the messages from this address," she instructed the tablet. "Delete and log sender as spam."
"Request received," advised the tablet.
The ceiling chimed again.
"Happy naps and sweet dreams, folks. See you at dinner."
Bernice's shoulders slumped. "Right," she growled. "Time to get out of here."
"I have to see the warden, now."
Bernice attempted to sidle past the operative, who was, to all intents and purposes, standing guard outside the warden's office. He looked very dozy, as if only just holding off sleep, but he perked up considerably as Bernice approached.
"It's nap time. You should be asleep, dear."
"I'm not tired, and I'm also not your dear," she managed to get between the operative and the door. "Your arrivals team say there's no departure area. No one leaves here, even though shuttles call regularly with new inmates, so I need to speak to the warden about it. Let me in, now."
"Hang on, dear," the operative saw her grab the door handle. "Can't interrupt. The warden's in conference with Matron. Can I get you a sedative?" And why does everyone here always assume I need help or medication or the bloody toilet all the time? In fairness, most of our residents do, dear. Don't call me dear. It's immensely irritating and patronising. Your hair looks nice, by the way. Thanks, Bernice spat, before realising that it had been a compliment. Thanks. One of Madame Beryl's Blue Rinse Bouffant specials? It's not my usual look, but it was free. The warden's door was suddenly opened behind her, causing Bernice to stagger and fall backwards onto the carpeted office floor. The small, tweed-suited warden glared like a meerkat from his too large seat behind his grandiose wooden desk. He was flanked by the predictably ample figure of matron. Opposite them both was Professor Bernice Summerfield, firing on all cylinders. And as for this institutionalised old fogey farm... "Luxurious planet-wide retirement complex," the warden interrupted haughtily. "However you choose to describe it, I came here for a healthy spa break. Rather randomly, I'll admit, but a spa break I was determined to have. So far the tar pits are closed, there's nothing to do, and you won't serve me any alcohol. I've even missed bingo night this week." "Oh, that was great fun. A real cracker." "Thanks. Everywhere I go, there are attendants trying to wipe my mouth, sedate me, assist me to the toilet."
"All standard procedure," the matron interjected.
"I prefer to wipe my own bottom, matron, don't you?" Matron looked away, her cheeks reddening. "Even if I'm only here to relax and enjoy myself for just a few days."
"Oh, a few days," laughed the warden. "This is a retirement complex. You're here for the remainder of your life."
"I'm what now?" Bernice found herself momentarily stumped.
"I don't think so, chum," was the best that she could come up with. It was weak, and she knew it.
"Then why did you sign up?" the warden calmly asked.
Unlike the other operatives, Bernice found an expressive intelligence behind his eyes. She paused and searched for an answer.
"I didn't sign up. I'm looking in the washroom mirror one minute, the next I'm on a shuttle. The bit in between is a mystery."
The warden and matron looked at each other with a knowing nod.
"What?
What?"
Bernice asked, unnerved.
"I suspect you've been recruited by some of our advertising."
"Recruited?
We, triggered infomercial screens," the warden admitted. "They can have a mesmeric influence under certain circumstances. They are illegal?"
Bernice finished for him.
"They're not illegal in this region. They're licensed and, if I may say so, unnecessarily heavily regulated, but not illegal. The screens have intelligent face recognition software. They select the relevant ad from their stored memory range for the perceived age of the individual utilising the mirror."
Bernice's mouth and forehead tried very hard to meet in the middle of her face.
"Do I look of retirement age to you, do I?"
"You're not required to judge," said matron sternly.
Bernice's scowl deepened.
"Clearly it was faulty. It has been known for the screens to get confused by people pulling silly faces."
You...
Bernice tried to hide her obvious guilt through indignation. "How many other inmates have come here against their will after innocently using the toilets of lowbrow drinking establishments?"
"We have an exceptionally high level of resident satisfaction,
after sedation, no doubt."
"That is slander,"
snapped the warden, slamming his palms on the desk and visibly wincing.
"Is it? Is it really? Well, as far as I'm concerned, it's your fault I'm here, and I'm not leaving this office until you sort it out."
There was a moment as they all considered the impasse. Then the warden smiled, genially, and offered Bernice a humbug. There was an obtrusive bleep from her arm. She revealed her flexible tablet, wrapped under her sleeve, checked it, and rolled her eyes.
"Oh, go away!"
"Something wrong?"
"I'm being harassed by some weasel who keeps sending me provocative messages." "We don't encourage online dating here," said matron, with prudish angst. "If residents wish for any of that... sort of thing. We have a Wednesday afternoon chaperoned hook-up social group with tea and biscuits."
Wild. The warden stood.
"I can see you're upset. Upset?
I'm lots of things, Warden. I'm bored to tears. I'm livid. I'm dry. That's what I am. And I'm out of here today on the next shuttle.
That's impossible, I'm afraid. No one leaves here. You signed a legally binding agreement.
The Warden swung his monitor screen around to show Bernice the scanned documentation. She read it quickly. I was under mesmeric influence, but if you're being pedantic about it, my name isn't Bunny Surplice Slimmerfield, and no legal body worth its salt would allow that to stand. Suddenly Bernice's world spun. White noise exploded inside her head like it had briefly in her quarters earlier. As she staggered to a nearby seat, she noted in her peripheral vision that the Warden and Matron were also coming under psychic attack, although the effect on them wasn't quite so marked. The white noise faded, and a voice literally burst into her head.
Puli Bellaninis on the planet below, this is the voice of your overlords. Sorry about the false start earlier and interrupting nap time. My bad. So, anyway, I broadcast to you now, as usual from high orbit, to induce trembling and quaking at the very sound of my voice. Sound? Sound? Can we do anything technical with that? At the very sound of my voice. Yes, thank you, Nigel. That reverberation makes all the difference. Yes, yes, now you can stop it now. Induced trembling and quaking, blah, blah, blah. And to remind you that invasion is imminent. Oh, yes, yes, indeed. We've been working very hard this end, and I can exclusively reveal to you today, puny beings, that you can expect to be overrun, quelled, crushed, and fiddled with any day now by our huge and supremely powerful Quartian invasion force. So, we'll see you all and all the family and everyone else's family on Wednesday fortnight. And don't forget to wear clean underwear. We'll be naming and shaming on our live social media feed. Bye for now.
There was a brief respite before the voice returned.
Forget the Wednesday fortnight thing. It's supposed to be a surprise invasion, so... maybe we'll see you on Wednesday fortnight, or maybe sooner, or possibly later. Who knows? Not me. Except I do. Everything else still applies.
Bernice remained seated on the leatherette chair and rubbed her temples. The Warden and Matron relaxed their screwed-up eyes and smiled at her.
What the actual hell was that? She asked, very carefully.
Daily update from the invasion fleet. He broadcasts direct into our heads every day to let us know the current status of his plans and how pointless it would be for us to resist. It's rather good of him, don't you think? And you didn't think to notify regional authorities? Seek help? Close the place down temporarily? Ship people out, or at least stop new residents coming into the firing line when these Quartian actually get around to invading?
It's been going on for months now. We've kind of got used to it, really.
You've got used to it? Got used to being threatened by an intergalactic superpower,
admittedly one that sounds a little ineffectual, but... Bernice found herself slammed against the back of the chair as the broadcast started up again.
Addendum, Bellaninis. There's a union dispute on at the moment, and an unpaid utilities bill that is causing us some embarrassment. So, it looks like we won't be able to invade on Wednesday fortnight, as planned, after all. Sorry. You know how these things go. Also, I hate to have to ask this, but it seems we're starting to run a bit low on supplies up here, and it's a long way home just for a few odds and ends. So if you could send up some general aid packages, that would be great. You know the sort of thing. Dried and tinned food for starters. Blankets. Medicines. lavatory cleaner, and any mild porn, cigars, liqueur chocolates, and loo roll that you can spare. I'm sure you understand how difficult it is sustaining an invasion force in orbit for this length of time.
The reaction gets less severe the longer you've been here, said Matron, as Bernice blinked her eyes into focus. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to make the necessary arrangements and have the supplies shipped in an unmanned launch pod post-haste. You heard the broadcast?
What?
Boggled Bernice.
It's a fair humanitarian aid request.
Bernice stuttered and spluttered at the two officials behind the desk. He's not going to return the favour when the Caution invade and start killing everyone else, is he?
You should be pressing home the advantage!
They stared back at her, resolutely. The shuttle bay led out onto a launch pad, and the bustle of activity led Bernice to a lozenge-shaped vessel with a pregnant bulge. There was so much activity, in fact, that the operatives were almost falling over themselves to load the supplies, making it very easy for Bernice to creep through them all and stow herself away. This place is so bad, she thought to herself, that I'm almost hoping that I will get myself abducted by a more exciting species. What a life! Bernice hunkered down among the Hessian sacks of produce and piles of itchy blankets and dragged up a box of Next Door's Uncle Bi-Weekly to lean against. She heard the side panels lock into place, and only then did she realise she'd put no thought into how much internal heat or oxygen the pod would hold. And she wasn't even wearing a spacesuit. Before she could do anything about it, she found the pod launched with impolite speed, and she was propelled out of her niche and rammed against the bulkhead wall opposite. Bleep, bleep.
What?
Bernice came to, floating weightlessly amongst the other supplies in the pod. She put her hand to her throbbing head and discovered a sticky gash on her temple. She peeled her flexible tablet from her forearm and checked her image on the screen. Being flung against the wall like that had flattened the other side of her hair, mirroring what she'd done when she fell to the floor in the warden's office earlier. Her shampoo and set now looked like some sort of crazy blue-rinsed mohawk. Bleep, bleep. Oh, good, she sighed. More messages. Play.
Message 1. Hi, baby. Why you no reply? See pic. Yum, yum.
Delete. I thought these were going to spam. Next.
Message 2. Thub Scout to control. Thub Scout to control. Still stranded in the gloop. Thub must come immediately to these coordinates and attack. Repeat. Thub Scout to control. Thub Scout to control. Still stranded in the gloop.
Hang on. That's not sexting.
Bernice checked the sender ID. Same as the previous one. Tablet shut down, she said. No guesses as to what's causing the high level of impurity in the tar pits, then.
It's a bloody spaceship.
And here was me thinking the old dear in Unit 23 had soiled herself.
Right, you're going to keep talking to yourself, Benny, because it'll take your mind off the sudden freezing cold and keep you sane. Got that?
Bernice's last word became a bout of teeth chattering and prevented her from speaking any further. It was the sharp pain that brought Bernice back to consciousness. After initial fleeting moments of utter and total disorientation, agony in her spine registered more precisely, and she realised she was bent backwards over a pile of boxes. Bernice managed to twist, roll and pivot herself into a standing position, grinding her teeth against the pain to avoid making too much noise. She was alive at least. But goodness only knows how long the pod had been docked and how long it would be before anyone came to unload their delivery. She was examining the inside of the door when she heard the locks pressurizing from the outside. Straining against the crippling agony, Bernice heaved herself over a pile of stuffed sacks to lie at the back of the hold. She heard the hiss as the pressure equalized and the click, creak as the door released and opened, and footsteps shuffled in lazily. A low chuckle became a full belly laugh as the investigator rifled through some of the contents. Cackling all the while, the individual then left the pod, much to Bernice's relief, and she heard them disappear into the distance. Leaving a healthy gap, Bernice struggled onto her knees and tentatively peered over the top of her hiding place.
The pod had been left open. No one was around. She ripped into one of the sacks of medical supplies and grabbed a dressing for the gash on her head and a blister pack of familiar strong painkillers. She took double the recommended dose before heading off to investigate, as gingerly and as stealthily as she could. If this is a mothership docking bay, then someone's taking austerity measures to new heights, she quipped, as she looked at the grey walls immediately outside the pod. This wasn't a docking bay, a loading bay, or even an airlock. There was just one small door a few paces beyond the pod. She approached the door, and it slid open automatically to reveal a narrow corridor beyond. She ventured out, her back twinging with every step. She could only hope that the painkillers didn't take too long to kick in. The corridor, like the chamber she'd just left, was just tall enough to stand upright in, with dull grey panelled walls and a latticework ceiling and floor. Service cables and ducting could be seen running above and below. Purely functional, no aesthetic consideration at all. Her tall hair gently caressed the ceiling panels, moving in the breeze from the air conditioning and dislodging clumps of dust. There was one door at the end of the corridor, about 5 metres away, plus a door almost immediately to her left. Leaning heavily on the doorframe, Bernice stepped in to have a nose around. Thankfully, no one was there. It was obvious that these were quarters for one crew member only. Single bunk, washroom, food prep, and relaxation pod. The bridge door slid aside with an unsubtle squeal of stressed mechanics, but the tubby little humanoid therein was concentrating too much on the huge bank of controls across which he was virtually beached as he twiddled this, flicked that, and nudged the other, chuckling away at himself with almost perverse glee. Bernice rolled her eyes, determined to get some attention. The bridge door opened with an annoying scree noise, and the hero entered boldly to confront the dastardly villain. The figure did nothing more than flatten his 4-strand comb-over with a sweaty palm as he checked a monitor readout, before transforming the gesture into a hasty beckon in Bernice's general direction.
Come in! Come in! He muttered between chuckles.
Give me a moment, Bernice said, the strain of her back pain etched into her face. You knew I was aboard?
Not until the door opened, I'll admit. But you can't harm me, if that's why you've come here. There's a dampening field covering the bridge.
That's fine for energy blasters and projectile weapons, but what if I wanted to garrot you with a pair of old tights?
I've nothing to fear.
He peered myopically at the large view screen showing the planet Belanine below. Am I addressing the leader of the... what was it? Caution?
Colin, yes.
A very ordinary.
Not where I come from. And you are?
Professor Bernice Summerfield. You may not have heard of me. The figure, Colin, turned briefly to look at her. He was all cheeks and chins, she noted, like a swollen baby.
Indeed not. Should I have?
No. He leaned back in his seat.
I like your hair.
Thank you. It's not my usual style, I'll admit. Bernice fussed about her mohawk lightly and winced as her back twinged again.
You appear to be in some discomfort. Or perhaps you soiled yourself in the supply pod.
I see my toilet habits are still considered a subject for general conversation, then. No, I did not soil myself. I happen to have hurt my back, thank you very much. Plus, I may be slightly concussed. Whatever, I'm currently waiting for the painkillers to kick in. Unless you have a chiropractor in your invasion force?
Invasion force?
A mischievous glint twinkled deeply in his slit-like eyes.
You're looking at it.
I see. Bluff and bluster over the audio waves, eh? I assume someone on the planet below will at least have checked to see what's up here.
Indeed.
He rubbed his pudgy hands together, which made his chins wobble.
It's all holographic crystal projection.
Which explains why this apparent mothership of yours is no larger than a one-person interplanetary vessel. Ah, there they go.
Who goes where?
Painkillers. Just reach the spot. Bernice's strained features gradually relaxed, and she moved further onto the bridge with more ease.
You fancy telling me about all this, then, since I've made the effort to come up and see you?
You're not from Belenine?
Colin turned his attention back to the controls. No, I only came to the planet by a misadventure, and I wasn't taken in by your ridiculous broadcast. Besides, I don't think I'm quite your target demographic. The man swivelled back round on his little chair, bringing a gun to bear on Bernice. She held up her hands in a lazy surrender. I'm unarmed myself. What about the dampening field? Surely that works both ways.
I turned it off.
Colin sniffed and chuckled with humour, keeping his gun steady.
I'd offer you a seat, but...
He waggled his gun around lazily. There were no other seats on the bridge. Bernice indicated that she'd rather remain on the raised gantry. So, is it only ever you that's heard on these broadcasts, then, or do you do silly voices as well? You write your material. Colin kept his gaze locked on the scrolling figures on his monitor.
It's only ever me, although I do refer to certain subordinates from time to time. It adds a little colour to my scenarios.
And you've been here long?
Half a solar cycle.
But what's it all for? What's the point if you never intend to actually invade?
It's a game, of course.
Colin was about to palm his unruly comb over once again, but an alert from the controls diverted his attention.
Ha ha!
He gurgled with glee and clapped his pudgy hands together again.
Here comes the Thumb Fleet at last, just entering the solar system.
And these guys are real, yes?
Oh, very much so, yes. Come, my pretties, on towards Belenine.
Do you mind if I check my messages while we watch? Colin gave a pernickety grunt in answer, now too caught up in events outside the ship. Bernice noted one new message. At last, my brothers, I feel you are near. Come, Belenine is weak. We will retrieve our overlords, and we shall be well once more. Do not forget me. Still stranded in the gloop, yours, etc., etc. She pondered for a moment, then subtly typed out a reply. Hello, out there in Thubland. Can anyone hear me? Who is this? Scout, X. What do you mean, who is this? You've been trying to chat me up for ages. Oh, hi. It's you at last. Where are you? Invasion Mothership. Wow. Am I flirting with an overlord, LOL? You guys are just the best. We love you. Gonna help you if I can. Listen out. Okay, X. Bernie snapped her fingers a few times to ensure she got Colin's attention. Hey, Big C.
What?
The little man spat bad-temperedly as he turned back to her. Mind if I posit a theory on all this? Bernice crossed her arms very carefully before her.
While we watch the planet burn below us, he shrugged. Why not?
Bernice inclined her head slightly and breathed deeply, gathering herself against the increasing effects of the painkillers and slightly regretting taking above the recommended dose. Before you came to Belenine, you played this false invasion trick on the Thub, am I right?
Very perspicacious of you.
So you hung around above their planet for ages, repeatedly threatening to invade. Then, when the occupants became accustomed to it, you left and started to do the same thing here. Why? The little man grinned.
With a bit of luck, the first lot of victims... In this case, the Thrub have become so dependent on me being there that they come to bring me back. A custody battle ensues for the right to be subdued by me. Conquest without risk to my own safety or loss of material assets.
You twisted little specimen.
Careful, Professor.
Colin dropped his portly joviality.
Remember who has the gun.
But Bernice continued regardless. You're happy for these Thub to invade and massacre what is essentially one vast old people's home on Belenine?
Hey, if they're all foolish enough to fall for it, what can you do?
he chuckled with glee and waggled his legs. "This, actually. And that's all from us now, folks." Bernice leaned forward and touched some controls on the panel directly below her.
"What are you doing? Leave that alone!" he screeched.
"Nearly done."
"Stop it! I'll kill you!"
"I doubt it. You're not going to fire at your own bank of controls, and I'm also wearing transparent aluminium space armour."
"What's that?"
A hint of caution entered his voice. "Made up, that's what." Bernice was now tapping and swiping away at her tablet. "Select and send. Done." She looked over and smiled with a little patronising shoulder shrug. "No more chuckles, my odious little friend." Colin frowned. Bernice could tell he was unwilling to take any precipitate action until he knew for sure what was going on. She looked over at the main viewscreen. The Thub fleet was moving into orbit around Belanine, poised for attack. "Let's hope I was in time."
"In time for what? Just what have you done?"
"Well, hopefully I made my own podcast. Clever, aren't I? I've got an app for it, you see. On this." Bernice indicated the flexible tablet wrapped around her forearm. "It was an impromptu and candid interview with the leader of the invasion fleet. You, in fact. Assuming I've done things properly, I should have broadcast my little creation directly into the heads of the Thub and the Bellaninis."
"What?"
"That's a theory," she said. But why was nothing happening?
"It's a bluff. Stop wasting my time."
There was a nervous edge to Colin's voice. They both stared expectantly at the viewscreen. Bernice typed another message to the stranded Thub scout. "Where are you?" "Still trapped in the gloop, miserable face." "Did you hear my beat cast?" "That was you, LOLZ, yeah, not happy, grr. What are you doing about it?" "Oops, yeah, you should get off invasion ship now, soz." Slowly on the view screen, the Thub vessels started to turn away from the planet.
"No! They can't! What have you done?"
Colin shrieked. "Looks like they're heading back this way. In attack formation. Oh, do you need the toilet?"
"I think I would."
Colin screamed and snarled and fired wildly at Bernice as he endeavoured simultaneously to activate his flight controls. She ducked and dived behind the raised instrument banks and slipped back through the doorway into the corridor. "And now," she muttered apprehensively, "for the really tricky bit." Some days later, Bernice, her hair once again set in an immaculate sky blue and submerged up to her décolletage in a gloopy tar pit, was relaxing with a very pink, very potent cocktail. The tar definitely had a soothing, revitalising effect against her skin and was comfortably warm. The alcohol was doing a similar job, but from the inside. She turned to the large, ant-like creature next to her, with its set eye gelled back stylishly and its chitinous shell seamlessly matching the hue of the tar. It smiled as they clinked glasses. The large group of chattering, smiling staff and animated residents standing nearby parted to reveal a seemingly monstrous double shadow that fell across the pair in the pit.
"What's going on here? What's all the commotion?"
"Warden! Matron!" Bernice raised her glass to them.
"The tar pits haven't been reopened yet." Matron was brimming over with haughty vehemence.
"I had a word with the guys this morning. Being a bit of a celebrity seems to have opened a few doors.
The tar pits, at any rate.
Oh, it's lovely in here. Do it wonders for my poor back." The warden started to chivvy the staff away brusquely.
"Come on, come on. Back to work, the lot of you, or I'll have you all on report."
He was met with grumbles and a slow, grudging exodus.
"Such spirited insubordination, unheard of. And you residents," he continued, "back to your living units. It's a 9:15 nap time. Chop, chop."
He clapped his hands at them ferociously, and Matron herded them away like cattle.
"Just look at what you've done with your in-your-face heroics. You are a disruptive influence, Miss Slimmerfield."
"Oh, pshaw. They weren't doing any harm. They just wanted to be near me and show me how grateful they are. People have started smiling a lot more round here now, you may have noticed."
Indeed I have. Excitement and interest, increased adrenaline and heart rate. It's not good for anyone who lives or works here. We shall have to remove the spicy options from the resident's menu and step up the staff medication.
The staff are drugged?
Medicated. Oh, it's only an inhibitor enzyme. Stops them going doolally from all the day-to-day drudgery and arse-wiping.
I assumed they were all just a bit, you know. The warden's lip curled slightly.
And I see you've managed to get alcohol. It's a disgrace.
I couldn't stand the anticipation of bingo night. Your staff were only too pleased this time to pander to my whim after the event.
Which reminds me,
she motioned to a lingering operative, two more of these before you disappear.
Cancel that, roared the warden at the operative,
who continued to leave, winking slyly to Bernice as he did.
While you remain here, growled the warden, you will continue to abide by the institution rules and the code of conduct. And your friend?
Bernice looked at her insectoid companion, his huge compound eyes affecting nonchalance. Then back to the warden. Can he stay here for a bit? She asked. For convalescence?
He was trapped in his scout ship, in the large tar pit, for several days. Hence the high level of impurity. How very inappropriate!
The warden's expression hardened.
It's not good for the residents. Well, where will it all end?
Oh, he's quite nice, really, said Bernice. And not my type, she added hastily. His chat-up lines are atrocious, and I'm old enough to be his mother.
I think the very least you can do to make up for all of this, said the warden, as he waved his hands around, searching for the word, this disturbance, is to furnish me with some answers.
Bernice sighed and stretched her arms.
Ugh. All right, then, far away.
The warden dragged a sun lounger across.
Just tell me why you didn't get blown up.
I was lucky, I guess. I activated the controls and appeared on the bridge of one of the Thub cruisers just as the invader's ship exploded and the illusion of the invasion fleet vanished. I explained to the Thub who I was and where I'd come from, and then we came down here. The rest you know. Jubilation, fated as heroes, etc., etc., all in a day's work, really, she added modestly. Matron returned at that point, and at a glance rushed over to the warden and started fussing over him.
Look what you're doing to the poor warden! Have you any idea how much he's put into this place over the years? The longer you remain here, the more you're rubbing our noses in this awful business.
What about the bilateral trade and peer support network I helped set up with a Thub? With town twinning and all that jazz?
Yes, well, I've slept on it a few times now, and I'm not sure I'm totally sold on the matter, said the warden.
Bernice's friend trilled, waved his forelimbs, and flexed his mandibles in consternation.
Oh, don't think I'm not grateful. But stimulation and diversity is not what the retired community come here for. We need to get this place back to normal. There's already been a sack of requests for a non-chaperoned roller disco one evening. Please, leave by the next shuttle. We've arranged one for you today.
You said I couldn't leave.
Special dispensation. Executive decision. Membership rescinded. Fees refunded. Minus a 25% admin and processing fee, of course. Your travel documents are in your quarters. Thank you for what you've done, but please get out now. Go and don't come back.
How very gracious of you. I'm so touched. The operative returned with the drinks.
Right on time. Bernice emerged from the tar pit, dripping everywhere. Down the hatch. Are you? Spluttered the warden. Where's your standard issue bathing robe?
Back in my unit. Why?
You're naked. I'm covered in tar.
The warden averted his eyes.
Thank you for what you've done, but please get out now. Go and don't come back, he squeaked.
I was just getting used to it here, said Bernice. Maybe I like being told what to do. Maybe I don't want to leave any more.
Oh, Matron, howled the warden. Take them away.